Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we continue, I would like to introduce you to the 7-Day CRE Challenge, which will introduce you to commercial real estate and will show you that anyone can do this. Also, I have the free cheat sheet for commercial real estate with the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. You can download it free. Just click below or above, wherever it is, and get it. Let's continue. Hi guys, this is Ishai Breslauer. How are you? I hope all is fantastic with you today, this beautiful Monday morning. Of course, I'm talking to the guys in America right now. I want to discuss today multifamily. Just quick thing, this show is live basically on LinkedIn, on YouTube, on Facebook, and it's going to be basically also a podcast, the Shark Eye podcast, in about an hour. It's going to go live, so whoever is driving to work can listen to it then. But anyways, it's a pleasure being with you. Whoever's joining us, great. Whoever's going to watch it later, also awesome. Today, I want to discuss multifamily. Everybody wants to talk about multifamily. It's the hottest, most beautiful topic. Everybody loves multifamily. And the big question about multifamily is yay or nay? Is this the time to go after multifamily? Yes or no? So it's obviously the most attractive avenue to go after nowadays. You know, when you talk about multifamily, when you talk about investment, you know, as a whole, you know, you're talking about all the asset classes. And every week I try to get, every Monday I try to talk about a different asset class. And we spoke about office last time. Now I want to talk about multifamily. Everybody's running to multifamily. And obviously when you talk about asset classes nowadays with this time of COVID and what's happening around and with, should we invest? Should we not invest? Should we go? Should we not go? Who's liquid? Who's not liquid? All these questions are in the air, right? And the multifamily question is also there. And everybody's saying, yeah, run after multifamily. I am all for it, but I just want to discuss it because it's not that simple. Nothing is that simple nowadays. Nothing is that, and you have to actually break down to pieces. And I would like to do that right now with your permission. And I think that is going to be interesting because I've been listening just like you guys, just like everybody else. I've been listening to everything that is going on, to the news. I've looked at the statistics and you see the positive side of things and you see the negative side of things. And this is very, very interesting. So first of all, the first rule, and that's what I tell everybody, also in my courses, I tell everybody, everyone needs a place to live, okay? So, and we just saw it now, right now in the COVID era. We're just seeing it live right now because people didn't go into the offices. Now they're slowly getting back into the offices. We spoke about offices, but everybody has to have a place to live. Nobody will ditch their home, okay? People need a place to put their head. They need a roof under their head, above their head. And that's what they need. They need to live on something. So the first thing is everybody needs a place to live. The second thing is the concept of affordable housing, which I'm going to get to. We've seen whatever we've seen. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people lost their income. A lot of people are in trouble. Affordable housing is an avenue that should be looked at. And the big question is what type of affordable housing? Because you can go all the way down from the Class C and the Class Ds of the HUD and the Section 8s and all those things. It's important to really put the emphasis on what we're talking about. The first thing to say is that multifamily has been pretty stable, is proven to be a resilient type of a market, a market that withstand the recessions, and it's a strong market, especially nowadays. This is not 2008. This is a different type of a recession. It's a different type of a thing. And it's a very confusing type of a recession, very confusing type of a crisis. So we have to look at all kinds of aspects. First of all, the National Multifamily Housing Coalition, whatever they're called, they say, meaning basically when we entered the recession, the statistics were 89% occupancy and rent, basically rent came in, okay? 89% of the rent came in, was paid, and it only gone up since, meaning things have been positive since. It's just getting better and better. So that's one positive aspect. I'm going to touch the negative in a second. Just want to touch a few positive aspects, and then we're going to recap a few things, and we're going to continue. Everything that is related to lending, is related to debt around this sector that is called multifamily, has been pretty positive. When you talk about CMBS and the CMBS that is in default, that is failing, and that we remember, of course, from 2008, what happened, but that was then the housing market. Right now, it happens to the hospitality and retail markets. I'm going to talk about it next week, probably the retail. But this is something that is happening there, and we are going to see stuff coming up. That's without a doubt. It's not me saying, it's everybody saying. It's people who are greater than me and more smarter and more experienced than me are saying that. And that is something to look at. But in the housing sector, especially in the multifamily sector, things are pretty good. Things are pretty stable. Not only that, but I hear I hear out in the market people who are getting actually loans with interest rates that are less than 3% with 12% IO, you know, interest only. That's crazy stuff that is going on. And the terms are great. At the same time, on the positive note, usually when that happens, usually the cap rates are starting to shrink, and cap rates have been pretty stable, which is a great thing. So when you have cap rates that are pretty high, meaning or stable, call it whatever you want, but they're not going down to a place which makes the market tough and you can't really get into deals and buy, and you have that type of a thing, usually the cap rates either shrink, interest rate goes up, meaning something happens, and this is a sign of some kind of an opportunity. So we have to look at that. This is on the positive note of things, okay? Now, I just want to touch a little bit on the negative note of things. So first of all, we have evictions. There are evictions out there. Even though rent was collected, there are people who lost their jobs and not able to pay the rent. Now, going back to the positive note of things is that the last thing people are going to try, meaning people don't want to lose their homes, and therefore the last thing they're not going to pay is a mortgage. They're going to pay their mortgage no matter what. They're going to maybe delay paying other things. They may be going to do other stuff, but the mortgage they will pay, the mortgage will happen. That is something that is very important to people, okay? So this is something crucial to talk about, and that's on the positive side. But on the negative side, again, people who were supposed to be evicted are not evicted because of everything that is going on, because government's regulations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And right now, these things, stuff is going to happen. Stuff is going to happen, and we're going to have to look at things like that. And nobody knows. Another thing that has to be talked about is asset classes and the classes within multifamily. We're talking about A, B, C, etc. But I want to focus for a second on class A's or places with high density. So everybody's really running, and that's the right thing to do, actually, to run to, you know, the workforce classes, which are B, B minus, C class, even though there are more people. I would say it's dangerous from the side, from the end of people maybe are laid off and they won't be able to afford it and they won't be able to pay their mortgages and all that stuff. However, having said all that, it's been pretty stable. It's been pretty stable. It's shown that people are paying their mortgages, I said. The problem is the high density areas. You're talking about New York, you're talking about San Francisco, you're talking about Los Angeles, you're talking about Chicago, downtown Chicago. All these things, all these places are really suffering majorly. They're really suffering heavily. And it's just, there's a statistic that I just saw. I think it was CNBC. I can't remember where I saw that. But it was apartment sales in New York are down 54%. This is unbelievable. 10, 20%. heavy stuff or 30. This is a 54%. This is crazy. This number is just unprecedented. So this is something really to, how do you say, you have to put your hand your head under the shower and put some cold water on your head when you hear this type of number. This is pretty scary. And people are fleeing the high-density areas and those places where, meaning A-class type of property for the most part, people are fleeing. People are running away. People are going away to the rural area, to suburbia. People are going out of there. And those places are in trouble. Those places are in trouble. And the supply is by far is exceeding the demand in those places. This is pretty scary. This is pretty scary stuff. So on one hand, we see multifamily problem, okay, in those high density places, in the New York, you know, especially New York City. And we see on the other hand, we see the positive side of things. We see the tri-tier markets and the suburban areas that are booming because people are going there and they're trying to everybody's moving out, doing their best to get the most out of whatever they can most, you know, out of their capital because there's a lot of liquidity outside, you know, out in the market right now and people want to put their money somewhere. So that's a place where people are going to. And that is, again, the B minus C class, all those markets. This is something to think about. This is something to think about. Now, I just want to touch one thing. This is an interesting statistics. Listen up. What we see now is something that we haven't seen since the Depression, 1929. We've seen young adults that are living back with their parents, okay? They used to live in the major cities. Everybody, you know, all those young adults, they all love to live in the, you know, where the hype is happening, where the downtown, where the action is. And now everybody moved out of there. Not everybody, but a lot of them moved out of there because A, they're working from home. They want to stay away from the COVID. They want all these things that are happening. So they moved out of there and they moved back with their parents. It's been the highest percentage of young adults living with their parents since the Depression. It's even higher than the Depression. It's an unbelievable statistic. So right now, to sum everything up and to try to think about it, the way I see it right now, it's very tough to see. It's very tough to predict those things. Because on one hand, single family homes, the prices are soaring. And lumber prices are also soaring. A lot of things are going up. A lot of prices are going up right now. And we're looking at the market and we are confused. And then we have those voices who are telling us, hey, single family homes is basically, it's a market that is about to crash. 2021, we hear all these voices telling us the market is about to crash for single family homes. But that will trigger people moving from single family homes to the multifamily market because they're going to downsize, they're going to sell, they're going to lose, they're going to foreclose. Whatever's going to happen, but it's going to get the multifamily market. Again, because people need a place to live, they're going to get out of there. So single family homes is a very dangerous place, in my opinion, to be right now. Unless you really know what you're doing, unless you have tremendous experience. Some people are single family home savvies, and that's what they do for a living, and that's what they've done for years. They know their markets. They know the area that they function in, and they know what to do. They know how to buy low. They know how to renovate and flip fast, and they have all the connections required. But for newbies, not recommended at all, in my opinion. It's not an official recommendation. Don't take it that way, but that's a personal opinion of mine. But anyways, that's the way it is. And that's why everybody's running to multifamily, and everybody's going to also keep on running to multifamily. Think about it. Retail is in major trouble. We're going to talk about it probably next week. Major, major, major trouble, okay? And hospitality is in super major trouble. By the way, opportunities in retail will come, but not right now, but right now it's in major trouble. So if you have capital in the market that is sitting somewhere, this capital is looking for a place to be. It's looking for, where should I go? Okay. And the place to go is obviously multifamily. A lot of people are talking about, of course, the conversions, which we'll talk about, et cetera. But multifamily is the easiest avenue to go to. It requires the least knowledge base in throughout the entire spectrum of this market, you know, of this commercial real estate market. You don't have to know much to get, meaning you have to know your stuff without a doubt, but you don't have to know as much, that's the right thing to say, as you're going into retail. Retail requires a lot more knowledge base than going into multifamily. You have to understand businesses, their requirements, their needs, traffic counts, and parking ratios, and all kind of things that you have to know. And you have to understand the depth of the businesses, et cetera. In multifamily, you don't need to know all that stuff because everybody knows that families need a place to live. They need a place to put, how do you say, to be and have a roof above their head. That's what people need. So it's easier to understand this concept. So even for this passive investor who's not looking into being a landlord on his own, being a sponsor, what we call, being the GP, the general partner, it's an opportunity to join those who do know what they're doing and to get into that type of a market, okay? And it's not the time to go upon yourself if you're a newbie and to go and say, yeah, I'm going to go, I want to buy a single family home and try, because you don't know what will the market bring, and we don't know what would 2021 bring. Some people talk about 2022 already. I don't know, okay? But I'm saying, again, multifamily throughout the years has been proven to be more stable. And that's a fact of life. And that's a fact of life. And people want to run into it and make sure that they be able to collect the rent in a timely fashion. The lenders today are by far more responsible than they were prior to 2008, meaning now the trouble again is in hospitality and retail when it comes to debt, okay? But the lenders are by far a lot more responsible. That's what we got here. And when I look at this, when we look at any deal that is coming in, we have to look in depth. Because, for example, everybody's talking about asset classes and markets, et cetera. But when you drill down really deep into a certain deal that you're looking at, that deal could be spectacular, specifically in a market that is not so spectacular, et cetera. So you have to know what you're doing, and you have to know, and you have to do your market research in order to get in, and in order to get in carefully and responsibly. So this is something that we also have to look at. Even though the macro looks like that, we have the micro that we have to focus on and see, how do we digest this specific deal that we just got? If we want it, we don't want it. Is it a yes or a no? We have to be focused on a certain asset class. Another thing I want to talk about is the value add aspect. Everybody is into value add. Everybody wants the IRR to be, like for the end investor, meaning a deal level of 35 IRR that would get you that in the food chain, that end investor that gives you the $150,000, $200,000 out of the fund, which the LP of the LP, as we call it, okay, will get his 14, 15, 16 IRR, okay? This is, I would doubt it's a game plan I would just go for in this type of a market. This is not the type of a market to go for that type of an aggressive value add. I would go to the core, you know, of the core deals, as we call it, but I would, income producing, but the value add is a different gameplay, meaning it's a different game right now. What type of value add you should look at right now? The value add you should look at right now, I believe, it's my personal opinion, is the more conservative type of value add, meaning high occupancy with opportunity, which is usually more the game of the large corporations where they buy hundreds of millions of dollars of portfolio units or billion-dollar portfolio units, something that is only, how do you say, the court. It's the court of the big guys, of the big companies, the big large corporations, and they know usually how to monetize, and take the little things and add and increase tiny amounts of rents and play with the operating expenses in a way, and the debt service and all these things they put into play, all these aspects, and they come into the bottom line, to the NOI and to the net income. Everything they look at and they say, here I'm making money and that's my gameplay. And it could take over time. And their game is not a year, two, three. Their game is usually 5, 7, 10 years, sometimes even more. So, and they look at IRR in the long term. That's what they look at. And they look at the cash and cash for their investors, what they are focused on. This is my opinion, the time for everybody to play that type of a game. It's not a game now to go and look for a very aggressive rehab. I'm buying something that is 70% vacant and so on and so forth. This is, again, those guys who are doing it for many, many, many years and have been into 2008 and have done that before and know how to take it and turn it around, that's one thing. But for most, how do you say, the vast majority of everybody else, meaning everyone else, my opinion is to go and to play the game like the big guys usually play on the largest scale of properties and portfolios, to come in and to say, I'm buying this property, that property, whatever it is, that has 90, 95 occupancy. But I could see small little things that I could add value without doing crazy stuff, without taking a major risk, and maybe work with a bank and see what type of a refi I can make, because today's the lending market is a great market. So you have to know how to play the little, tiny, tiny numbers in every aspect of the spectrum throughout the performa and see how you monetize everything to come out and make a profit. So that's what I think. So to sum it up, I think multifamily is a resilient market, is the market to go after, especially nowadays, but very carefully stay away. My opinion, stay away from the aggressive value add, go for a more, the more conservative type of value add, still value add, but more conservative type of a game, and be responsible and look at every deal the way, seven eyes, as we call it. Look into it in such depth. Put all you have into looking and underwriting properly every single deal that comes in. You guys, hope you guys are having a beautiful day. You guys have a beautiful week. Take care of yourselves. Be positive. That's the most important thing. Be positive. Have your spirit up. And we'll talk on Thursday. Talk to you guys later. Take care of yourselves. Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.